This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمداً رسول الله أشهد أن محمداً رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. All the praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his family, his companions, and his followers until the Day of Judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his final and his last and final messengers. My dear brothers and sisters, before I talk about my topic today, you notice that we put, signs for people not to pray between the pillars in the masjid. And that's the sunnah, that we should not pray between these pillars unless there is no space left in the musalla. In this case, we can pray between them. But to pray, then the line to be cut off by a pillar, that's not correct. That Mu'ay ibn Qurra radiallahu anhu, one of the companions, said, كُنَّا نُنْهَا عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ بَيْنَ السَّوَارِ فِي عَهْدِ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. We were not allowed to pray between pillars during the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time. وَكُنَّا نُطْرَدُ عَنْهَا طَرْدًا. And if somebody will line up, he will be pushed away or will be said, get away, stay away from being lining up between the pillars. Also, Anas radiallahu anhu said, هَذَا مِمَّا نُهِينَا عَنْهُ فِي عَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. This is something that we've been asked not to do. That's why al-ulama rahimahullah said, it is highly disliked to pray between the pillars unless there is no space left or there is the masjid is too crowded. And since alhamdulillah in Jumu'ah, we're not reaching that level yet. So we will keep this for a couple of weeks until people get used to that. And inshallah, on your own, you don't line between the pillars, so your lines will be complete. Inna tamam as-saf min tamam as-salah. Completing the lines is part of completing the salah. As we finished Ramadan, and alhamdulillah, during Ramadan, a lot of us were involved in many different acts of worship. And at least we all share the siyam, the fasting. كثير مننا في رمضان يكثر العبادة والطاعة إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى في هذا الشهر الكريم. And with this being said, I want to say that أن الطاعة لها حسنات. هناها حسنات. Good deeds and doing good deeds, it is something that it has its own reward. Not only a reward in the akhirah when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also in dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have told us some of these fruits, the beauty of good deeds. So one of it, something related to you when you are in a hardship and calamity. There is no doubt that we all going to face hardship and calamity. Al insan jubila ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ibtalahu bi anwa' min al ibtila'at. أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه. Oh mankind, you will struggle and you will be struggling until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will go from hardship to another. لقد خلقنا الإنسان إيش في كبد يعني مكابدة, that the person will be struggling in this life. But during this life, as these struggles and these calamities strikes you left and right and this hardship you go through, the break, the area where you feel the comfort that come to you, the strength comes from the good deeds. From dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the remembrance of Allah, from the salah, from the siyam, from the sadaqah that you do. And there is so many evidence to establish that concept. And you can look at the ulama rahimahumullah and the avid worshippers. Umru ila ahwal al-ubbad. Indahum min al-yaqeen wal-yahudu wal-sa'ah. They have so much tranquility, peace when calamity strikes. And starting with the Prophet ﷺ to the companions radiallahu anh, yes, you feel tight, you feel hard, you feel, you know, squeezed, you feel tired, you feel that things are very bad, you feel pain. But when you engage in the ibadah, when you are consistent in your ibadah and the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the salah wassalam ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and bring a different type of peace and tranquility and serenity to the heart. Only those who do understand exactly what I mean by that. يقول شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله, while he is in his jail, قال المحبوس من حبس عن الله والمأسور من أسره هوى. The real prisoner is not the one in cell and behind bars. The real prisoner is the one who is been prevented from, not from the dunya, meeting friends and being outside, no, the one who been prevented from being connected with Allah. And the real, you know, al-ma'sur, yani the one who is a prisoner or a person who been taken as a prisoner, is the one who been taken prisoner by his own desires. But that's what the real prison is. And he said, you see this wall between me and the people outside? It's like what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ. Allah said in the Quran, there is a wall. From this side, mercy. From the other side is suffering. He said, that's the mercy side, where I am inside the jail. Because I'm engaged in dhikrullah, reading Quran, reviewing my ilm. And these have brought to me so much tranquility and peace, to the extent Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, we used to visit Ibn Taymiyyah in jail. And wallahi, we will come with so much worry and anxiety and thinking about how the world around us and all this. وَلَا نَلْبَثْ. The moment we talk to him and we see him and we see how much tranquility and peace he had, we will change completely and we'll come back full of optimism. And I witnessed some of that personally. When I used to visit Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, and I will come to him and saying to him about somewhat happening in the world, all the problem that happened around the world. And sometimes it's a big issues, war, civil war, torturing of people, Muslims and du'at ila Allah being killed, so many problems, evil things happening. And the moment I go and I talk to him, the amount of tranquility and peace that he has. And always when he hears me or some other people who will be engaged in dhikr and say, astaghfirullah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, then he start talking. And the sense of optimism is to be patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never put you down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let his deen to be lost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let the true believers to be defeated all the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, victory is coming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, relief is coming. Allah's breaks are coming. And when you hear that, you feel so much peace and tranquility. And you start dealing with these problems in a very different way and a different attitude. Another thing about good deeds, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of your good deeds and righteousness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put on people's heart love for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in the end of Surah Maryam, سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا يعني يَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً فِي قُلُوبِ النَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put ar-Rahman, will put in the, for them love. Love by who? By Allah, by the angels, and by the people. And here, basically, in the top of this list, the righteous people. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the verse in Surah Maryam, that's the last verse, In the end of the Surah Maryam, he said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who believe and do good deeds, سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ, Allah will make for them love. And this explained the hadith in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Bukhari and others, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he loves someone, he tells Jibreel, I love so and so, so love him. And when Jibreel loves him, he tells the angel, and he will be loved by the angel. And he will be, after that, يُوضَعْ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, Allah will give him an acceptance in earth. Would people love to hear, to talk to him? I can tell you about people I met and I knew in my life. Yani, until today, I don't know how they got this love and popularity and acceptance. And I'm not talking about who polish their exterior, those who use marketing technique. Those people like a bubble. Very soon they became so hype up in social media, even some speakers, stuff like that, and they crash. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about people for a long time, a long record, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them qabool and acceptance. Then I get to know them personally, and I ask about people when they became famous and people crazy about them. I start watching their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when I see that their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so good, I know that's a good sign. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُضَعْ لَهُ الْقَبُولِ, He give him an acceptance on earth. People love them from all over the world. I remember when Shaykhana Shaykh bin Baz rahimahullah died, and I can tell with full confidence, there is no one in history of Islam, no one, from the time Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam until today, there is people have made janazah on them like Shaykh bin Baz. There is no one in history or in modern time yet. That record never been broken. The amount of people who made janazah on him are unbelievable. Even here in Houston, several masajid who don't know what Sheikh bin Baz is. I remember Mr. Farooq calling me, Sheikh, we're praying janazah on him. Regardless of praying janazah on the ghaib or not, that's not the point. The point is what motivates people like this just to make janazah on him. It's an unbelievable amount of love. People were crying. Can you imagine airlines? Airlines, son, anyone want to fly to Mecca to pray janazah on Sheikh bin Baz, free ticket at that day. Nobody asked them, no government asked them to do not. It's just a love for the Sheikh, rahimahullah ta'ala. And that's because of the righteousness of the person. And so many examples like this. Umar radiallahu anhu sent a message to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. And he said to him, Inna Allah idha ahabba abdan habbaba ilayhi khalqah. When Allah loves someone, He makes people love Him. Fa'tabir manzilataka min Allah. So if you want to look how your status with Allah is, فَانْبُرْ مَا لَكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِثْلَ مَا لَكَ عِنْدَ النَّاسِ. See how people treat you. See how people like you. And that's how we'll represent how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what if the outcome of this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the love of your children. You might sound strange, but you know what? I met a lot of people, not a lot, but quite a number of people said, I hate my parents. I don't like my kids. And I'm not talking about little kids. No. They just can't connect with their parents. Wife, she might live with you, you might live with her, but there is no love. Part of the thamarat, one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in people's heart of love for you because of your righteousness, even to cover your own other mistakes because of the ibadah. Shafin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divorced Hafsa. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, take her back. Leish? Why? Qal Jibreel, Allah yaqul ruddaha fa innaha sawwamatun qawwama. Take her back. She's a woman who always fasts and always pray. Even maybe you're not interested, whatever angry at you made you divorce her, that will not be a reason. Take her back. She's a righteous woman. Keep her as a wife. One of the things that the ibadah, the good deeds do, أن المحسن يستشعر حلاوة في الطاعة ولذة لا يجدها في أي عمل آخر. The sweetness of good, of doing good, the sweetness of iman that you find when you do a good deed, it is way more than any other thing that you might do or you find. No matter what, watching a movie, playing a game, you know, going a trip, whatever happy and sweetness you have in your heart because of that will not be ever compared to the sweetness that you find when you do a good deed. That's why يقول كان السلف يقولون والله لو يعلم الملوك أبناء الملوك ما نحن فيه لجالدون عليه بالسيوف. If rich people know how much joy we have in our life, they will fight us over it. But they don't know what is the sweetness of being able to make khatm al-Quran, to memorize the Quran, the sweetness of understanding knowledge and understanding the fiqh of the hadith, of the fiqh of the verse in the Quran, or reading the biography of the scholar. It's a joy. Al-Bukhari rahimahullah was told, or one of the other ulama al-hadith was told, don't you get bored by being kida alone in the library all the time? He said, you don't know. I'm in the company of Abu Bakr wa Umar wa Sa'id ibn Musayyib wa Hassan al-Basri. It's a much joy that cannot be compared to anything else. أيضا, one of the beauty of good deeds, هو الغنى الوفير. جاء عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن الله تعالى يقول يا ابن آدم تفرغ لعبادتي أملأ صدرك غنى وأسد فقرك. O son of Adam, Allah says that the Prophet ﷺ told us that Allah says, O son of Adam, dedicate yourself to the worship of me, and I will fill your heart with ghina, يعني in no need for anything outside me or other than me. I will not make you need in anything. And أملأ قلبك غنا وأسد فقرك, and I will take care of your needs. When a person is feel independent, feel sufficient, feel content, and that's what the true meaning of happiness is. It is something that Allah promised will give to those who dedicate themselves to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not about how much you have. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال ليس الغنى عن كثرة العرض. Rich is not being possessed a lot of wealth. No. Rich, it means that you feel satisfied, you feel content. It doesn't matter how much the size of your bank account is, how much money that you have. كم من غني هو فقير وكم من فقير هو غني. So many people have a lot of money, but they are like a poor, act like poor. And so many people who are poor, but act like rich. They're so sufficient. Alhamdulillah, I'm good, I'm happy. That's why in Islam, we don't have a problem with you being possessing a lot of wealth or not having a lot of wealth. يعني what make you righteous, لا يظن أحد أن الفقير عند الله أفضل من الغني. يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say or doesn't like look at the poor people and he loves them more than the rich people. No. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way he judge people, not by how much they have or less they have. No. It's by how much taqwa they have. There is people who are poor, have no taqwa. Fujar. And there is people rich who have so much khawf and fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And always, yani, even in my youth, I remember memorizing these lines. Ya aib al-faqr ala tazdajr. Aib al-ghina akbar law ta'tabir. This person said that the being poor is not a bad thing. So it's a bad thing to be a rich man. Min sharaf al-faqr wa min fadlihi ala al-ghina in sahha minka al-nazar. If you want to know why I believe that being poor better than being rich, أنك تعصي كي تنال الغنى ولست تعصي الله كي تفتقر. He said you commit sins to become rich, but you never commit a sin to be a poor. That's his logic. I always يعني, laugh at this. It sounds like, you know, it has a point, but actually he doesn't have a point. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أتقاكم. The best of you is the one who have taqwa, not the one who have less money or more money. That's why العلماء رحمه الله, when they said, we have a long debate, Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim talk a lot about this. The point is, الغني الصابر, الغني الشاكر أم الفقير الصابر. A rich man who's thankful or a person who's poor but patient. Which one is better? Ibn Taymiyyah said, being better, what make him better is not being poor or being rich, is being shakir, thankful, and being patient. So if you're patient and thankful, it'll be greater. If you are patient and, you know, and grateful and patient at the same time, you became better. One of the reason and beauty of good deeds that Allah save you if calamity strikes society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the believers ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لفسدت الأرض. It is because of those good people on earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved villages and saved society and saved city from being destroyed. قالوا أنهلك وفينا الصالحون قال نعم إذا كثر الخبث. We will be destroyed even there is good people among us. He said if they will become few and the majority are corrupt. So that means if there is more good people, the city will never be destroyed or the society will be protected. ولولا من يذكر الله في غفلة الناس هلك الناس قالها عون بن عبد الله بن عتبة بن مسعود. عون بن عبد الله بن عتبة بن مسعود said, it is because of those who mention Allah, who make istighfar, who make dhikr to Allah. While people are heedless, because of those people, Allah protects society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the society. One of the beauty of good deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your children and grandchildren and grandchildren, what? Righteous. You remember the story of Al-Khadr and Musa, where there is a treasure hidden under the wall and Musa alayhi salam dug that. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said, that's because their seventh great grandfather was a righteous person. And Allah, because of that man's righteousness, brought Musa all the way from his city to keep the treasure for them and to save the treasure for these two orphan kids. And that's because of the righteousness. Can Sa'id ibn Musayyib, rahimahullah, one of great tabi'i, يزيد في صلاة الليل يقول والله إني لأزيد في صلاة بالليل رجاء صلاح ولدي. I increase my salah in the night just because I want this to be the reason for my children and grandchildren to be righteous. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أن يرزقنا وإياكم حلاوة الإيمان. May Allah grant us the sweetness of إيمان and the commitment to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول ما سمعتم وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. One of the blessings of good deeds, those who are righteous, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put so much barakah and blessing on their time. So they accomplish a lot in such a short period of time. And amazed when you look at the righteous people, their life, you find that they accomplish so much in such a short period of time. And so much, not necessarily in the dunya, but in the akhirah, in the good deeds. Yani, for example, I can't tell you how this person is like always blowing my mind. Annawi rahimahullah. Annawi rahimahullah, look at his books. It's in every corner on earth. I don't think there is any book after Al-Quran read more than the books of by Imam Annawi rahimahullah. Riyad al-Salihin, in every masjid they read this Riyad al-Salihin. I remember I was traveling once to Australia and I stopped in Guam. Then I, from Guam, went to check some islands around the area, and it has some Muslims, very small community, literally in the middle of nowhere, in an island that they don't have birds. You can imagine an island without birds, okay? Which is very strange. I was like surprised, there's no birds in the island. And the guy said, do you have a good observation? I said, that's just very strange. Anyway, so going back to the, if you wanna know why, you can ask me after Jummah. They don't have birds. But in that island, we prayed Isha and I found them reading Riyad al-Salihin. The 40 hadith in Nawawi. It became so popular. Many people wrote 40 hadith. This man, Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, you know, he wrote so many books in his time. He used to study, he used to have 12 classes every day that he used to attend. Barakah in his time. He died in the age of 45, by the way, rahimahullah. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, died in his mid-60s, 67. He wrote, rahimahullah, more than 300 volumes. Today I was reviewing a book by Ibn Asakir. One of the book that Ibn Asakir wrote, it's called Tariqh Dimashq, the history of Dimashq. I was looking at my older memory, only part of it was published because this book for a long time was not available. So it was something I need to review on it today, in the morning, or just last night. Then he said, I check how many volumes been printed from this book. Now what's printed, 80 volumes. 80 volumes, several hundred pages. Al-Wafa' ibn Aqil, if you look at what he wrote, one book that he wrote, Al-Dhahabi rahimahullah said, I was able to find the volume number 700 plus. And it's not complete, it's more than that. Just one book, it's called Funun ibn Aqil rahimahullah. Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, amazing, Ibn Qudama will pray 300 rak'ah a day. How do you have time to pray that? With all the other things that he do. But Allah puts barakah in his time. One of the things about righteousness, Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Those who have taqwa, Allah will always bring an exit for them, a relief for them, a solution for them. مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. From an area where he never expected to be. Read the story of the three people who locked in the cave. What have relieved them? What have made the rock to be moved? It's the good deeds that they have done. And there's more, many stories like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will put light on the face of those who are righteousness, have righteousness, those who follow the sunnah. ينور الله وجوههم في الدنيا قبل الآخرة. In the akhirah, يوم تبيض وجوه. Allah says, when faces will be shown. In the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do that. You know, I grew up in Saudi Arabia. So I grew up around people who used to attend the king gathering, and they go to these royal families and being around very elite member in society. And I still remember some of the people that I know. They were like me in high school and college, just, you know, regular clothes, you know, even I'm wearing fancy kurta today, but, you know, just regular clothes and stuff like that. But the moment they start hanging out and going to this royalty, stuff like that, man, their face looks nice, you know, their haircut became more, you know, accurate. They go to this like expensive haircut, the clothes that they wear, the way they carry themselves, just by being around this kind of elite in society. And I still remember that very clearly. How, even if I show them picture, that we didn't have picture at that time because, you know, we didn't have phones and stuff. But if you imagine some of these pictures in the old days, before and after, you can see clearly the difference. And now, people who go with COs and they became like in the elite number, all of a sudden, because you hang out with them, you change. Can you tell me how you're going to look like if you hang out with Allah all night? How are you going to look like when you hang out with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most of your day? Five times a day, in the night when you pray. What do you think you will look like? That's exactly what the ulama said. He said, إِذَا صَحِذَ الرَّجُلُ الْمُلُوكِ نَوَّرُ وَجْهَهُ وَحَسَّنُ مَظْهَرَهُ. The kings will make him look nice. What do you think when you are with the king of the kings? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put halawa, beauty, and handsomeness on your face and in your look. قال أكثر الناس نورا خلوا بالرحمن فكساهم من نوره. The most light, like so light on them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them from his light, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the end, I would say, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you with things less. If you do good, Allah will be greater to you. And you know what one of the good things is? The best thing that He can do to you is to open your heart to even come closer to Him, to love to worship Him more. When you make dhikr in the daytime, when you lower your gaze in the daytime, when you hold your tongue from saying the wrong things in the daytime, you know how Allah reward you? Allah reward you by opening your heart to pray extra two rak'ah in the night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarify and purify your soul so you enjoy reading Quran in the night even more. You contemplate in the Quran more. You connect with Him more. That's part of the ihsan that Allah, and the best of the reward that you can ever get for your good deeds. As Ramadan finish, Allah reward you that He will open your heart to so many other good fields, other areas of goodness that you can do after Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that and open us, open our heart to love him more, to commit to him more, to be connected to him more. Allahumma ameen. And we ask him to forgive our sins and shortcoming. And we ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our ending in this life upon goodness, upon a way that he will be pleased with us. Ya Allah, accept whatever we have done in Ramadan and forgive whatever shortcoming happened in Ramadan. We ask you, Allah, to keep us on the straight path until you meet us. We ask you, Allah, to protect our children, our family, and to forgive our parents, the living and the dead. Allahumma ighfir lil muslimin wal muslimat wal mu'minin wal mu'minat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Allahumma aslih ahwal al muslimin wajma'hum ala al khayr wal huda. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى وأن تؤتي نفوسنا تقواها وتزكيها أنت خير من زكاها وصل اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وقوموا للصلاة يرحمني يرحمكم الله.